Moreover, gradually, centimeter by centimeter, the door began to open. At some point, a mist-covered appendage slipped through the crack that formed. Inside the house, the mist dissipated, and I could see four sharp claws in the twilight. What is this? An overgrown wolverine? The claws dug into the door and left deep marks, exactly the same as those on the village gates. Was I supposed to think that this was the way the local youth got its kicks? It'll become a running joke, if it gets around the village tomorrow, how the shaman got scared by children's pranks. I was about to stop resisting, but then a message popped up. Energy level 30. Stop, you angry shaman! This was the automatic message I put in place back at the mine to stop myself biting the dust from energy loss. This was no joking matter. It's not like the local kids would have the strength to demolish my energy in a matter of seconds. This is something else. But what this something was, I didn't get a chance to find out. A couple of seconds later, a message flashed that my energy had gone down to zero, and I froze like a broken doll. Unlike in the mines, in the main game world, energy can be easily restored from zero, even without the aid of water. But until it is restored to at least 10 points, the player freezes like a wax figure. Another blow on the door threw me far back into the room, and already mid-flight, I saw some gray shadow speed after me. There was no mist around it, but in the darkness of the room I couldn't make out what it was. Only one thing was clear. The beast had two arms and two legs, or four appendages, to sum it up. Why did I put out the lamp before leaving? That way I'd know what I was dealing with now. There was a flash of four sharp claws, a sharp pang of pain, and the surrounding twilight became even darker. So, my house is not much of a castle, it would seem. Though it's not like it's really my house. I was getting ahead of myself. There was a flash, and it seemed to me that I almost immediately found myself at the entrance to the local cemetery, a very symbolic respawning point. A small temple stood a few meters away from me, shading me from the bright morning sun. Looks like that unidentified beast did get me in the end, and the compulsory 12 hours from the moment of death went by in a flash. Great. I was about to head to the temple when I found myself staring angrily at a message that popped up. Attention! In connection with your death, your level of experience has been reduced by 30%. Current experience, 199. Points remaining until next level, 1201. I checked my purse. That's right, it now contained only 3,000 gold. The other half was lying in the summer house. I could only hope that no one had come in and laid their hands on it. It should have been somewhere behind the bed and not really visible from the door. But what was it that got me? Despite the fact that I had 680 hit points and 230 physical defense, the beast sent me for a respawn with a single blow. I looked into the combat logs, hoping that this feature had become unlocked since my leaving the mine. Yes! Now we'll read what it was that swatted me. I switched on the filter for the damage sustained in the last 30 hours and saw several lines. 23-45-23. Damage taken, 28. 258 door hit, minus 230 physical defense. Hit points remaining, 652. 23-45-26. Damage taken, 28. 258 door hit, minus 230 physical defense. Hit points remaining, 624. 23-45-39. Damage taken, 28. 258 hit against the wall, 258 hit against the wall, minus 230, physical defense. Hit points remaining, 596. 23-45-41. Damage taken, 24,762. 24,998 unknown, minus 230, physical defense. Hit points remaining, 0.
I looked at the message, dumbfounded. That was some swatting. 25,000 damage can be inflicted by a mob that's no less than level 70. But where would an aggressive mob of such a level come from in Beatwick, and why on earth did it decide to pay me a visit?
"Were you looking for something, my son?"
A voice sounded nearby and made me turn around. A small, plump, and pink-cheeked priest of some god was standing by the temple, thumbing through the prayer beads in his hands. A black robe covered him from head to foot, but failed to conceal the size of his enormous stomach.
"Do you want to receive a blessing from Vlast? In that case, you have to become his novice. Are you ready?"
So, this was a temple of Vlast, the god of winemaking. He was an analog of Bacchus, Pan, and other such gods from the real world. I went into the manual to read the main limitations imposed by serving this god, and was surprised to see that there were none. Any NPC or players could become this god's novice without any restrictions. This didn't concern just the novices, but you could even become a priest just a few months after becoming a novice. There were no additional costs or donations to be made. All you had to do is drink a glass of wine or homebrew every day and thus receive your divine blessing. Although if you failed to drink it, you'd incur a divine curse. Not a pleasant thing, as a rule. This meant that you'd have to atone for your sins with 2 glasses of homebrew. All right, I was never that interested in Barleona's religions as a hunter, and as a shaman, had even less need of them. Of course, Vlast is a convenient god for leveling up the faith stat, but there are just too many complications in this field. Not my thing. Now, it was clear, however, where the priest got his large stomach, probably from saying all those daily prayers with his parishioners and anyone else who dropped by. With the devout aid of wine and homebrew, that is. I bet those guards I met by the gates yesterday were also his active novices. "No, thank you. I respect Vlast, but I am not ready to become his novice. You have my thanks." I bowed to the priest, receiving a similar bow in response.
"As you wish. Vlast doesn't force anyone to serve him. Only someone with true insight could fathom the real depth of his teaching. Can I help you with anything else, my son?"
The priest run the standard phrase by me. "Yes, Holy Father, can you tell me if there are any monsters in these parts that roam about at night and bring grief and destruction to the local people?" The incident with the respawn wouldn't let me be. I was dying to find out what dealt me all that damage. The priest stopped fingering the prayer beads, looked around, and then gestured me to follow him.
"Enter into the temple, my son. This isn't a place to talk of such things."
There was nothing interesting inside the temple. There was the altar, with the depiction of a rather chubby Vlast, whose bleary-eyed gaze stared into empty space, and a couple of benches. That's it. The place was totally Spartan. The priest went behind the altar, took 2 cups from somewhere, and handed me one of them.
"Vlast's commandments do not permit one to start a conversation without wine passing one's lips first," the priest said in lofty tones. "I see that there's a reason that you asked me about the night monster,"
he began as soon as we had drunk a couple of draughts. It was ordinary wine and did not give any stat bonuses, just a slightly tipsy debuff after drinking it.
"I can see that this trouble has not passed you by. Yes, there is trouble in our land. People don't like talking about it, and everyone's pretending that nothing's happened. You've seen the claw marks on the gates, yes? The headman had to make up a story, saying that he was the one that scratched them on, just to calm the villagers down. But every 7 days, the claw marks appear again. It's just as well that the local kids got it into their heads that they are the ones getting up to this, so people stopped worrying. And the fact that every 7th night either a cow or a sheep disappears from the common herd, everyone blames the wolves for that. But no one gives a thought about how wolves would get through closed gates. The whole village is surrounded by a solid stockade, which not even a mouse would squeeze through. Only the headman and his sons know the truth, since they spend nights trying to catch the elusive beast. It's been evading them for 2 years now, and they've only glimpsed the monster's red eyes a couple of times, from afar. Your help would be invaluable. Would you take this on? If you could at least find out what beast it is that roams Beatwick, you would receive an ample reward.
Quest available. Night Terror of the Village. Description. Once every 7 days a monster roams Beatwick, which brings trouble and destruction to the residents. Find out who is the Night Terror of the Village. Quest type, rare. Reward, +400 to reputation with the Krong Province, +500 experience, +80 silver coins, a rare item from Headman's stores. Penalty for failing or refusing the quest, -400 to reputation with the Krong Province.
I'll take it. I'll find out who is hiding under the guise of the beast.
I accepted.
Now it all became clear. The beast's properties could not be seen, because that was the nature of the quest. So it looks like I'll have to find out about it in the normal way, and not the one that only players could use. All right. I'll postpone this matter for a week, when it's time for the hunt once again. Our first meeting with the beast ended with its complete victory, but we'll see how things go from here.
Thank you, Mayhen. If you need help, you can ask for it straight away.
The priest thanked me, and I headed for the village. It was now time to collect my dropped cash and go wolf hunting. There was leveling up to be done.
Chapter 2. Wolves and Other Things.
When did you manage to get out?
Asked Elizabeth as soon as I stepped into the courtyard.
I thought you were having a lion until noon, but it looks like you're quite an early bird.
I thought I'd take a walk, I said, sidestepping the question, reluctant to bring up the monster. I decided not to wake anyone, climbed over the fence, and went to check out the local surroundings.
How did you avoid getting mauled by Tiny Tim?
She asked in surprise. Tiny Tim?
Our dog. We let him out into the courtyard every evening. He's been taught not to jump over the fence, but he won't let any strangers into the courtyard either. That's him, sitting over there, see?
Elizabeth pointed to the far end of the courtyard, where Tiny Tim was living inside an enclosure, the meter-high wolfhound that he was. He was growling quietly and giving me a decidedly unfriendly look. Where were you, my friend, when I was being sent for the respawn? Probably sitting in your little hole and sniggering at my expense. I suddenly had a feeling that I really had to have a chat with Tiny Tim. It was silly, of course, but since my initiation as a shaman, I have made a habit of trusting any sudden hunches.
Can I get to know him a little better?
I looked questioningly at my landlady.
Of course. Just don't tease him. It would take him just a couple of bites to rip through the wire. I don't want any trouble. Our Tiny Tim is well-trained and shouldn't attack without good reason. But it's best not to tempt fate.
I assured Elizabeth that I wouldn't do anything to the dog, and walked up to his enclosure. Looking around to make sure we wouldn't be disturbed, I squatted and looked straight into the wolfhound's eyes. I couldn't explain why I did this, but felt that this was the right thing to do. Giving off a quiet growl, Tiny Tim came right up to the wire. I was hit by a pungent animal smell. We stared into each other's eyes for a couple of seconds, and then suddenly, the rest of the world went gray, became covered with a mist, and a ringing silence surrounded me. It was as if someone turned off all sound with a wave of the hand. A shadow separated itself from Tiny Tim and walked right through the wire as if it wasn't there. The dog's shadow walked at a relaxed pace around the courtyard like it owned the place. I looked at the real Tiny Tim. He looked at himself, eyes wide, mouth open, and tongue hanging out. He was the embodiment of doggy surprise. At this moment, the dog phantom took a couple of steps and then suddenly cowered to the ground, tail between his legs, and began to backtrack. I never thought that dogs could backtrack, especially with their stomach to the ground. I could be mistaken, but weren't they not supposed to be able to do that? All right, we'll write it off as the whim of the developers. The phantom crawled through the closed door of the enclosure, made his way to the doghouse, and, when his back was against it, seemed to try to dig himself into the ground. "Did something frighten you?" I asked quietly. My voice sounded like a thunderclap. What could have made such an enormous dog run away in fear and try to dig itself into a hole? Something mist-covered and formless appeared next to the dog. For a couple of moments it loomed over him, and then suddenly the silent drama was broken by the squealing of the real Tiny Tim. The wolfhound fell to the ground, tail between his legs, covered his face with his paws, made a puddle, and generally looked so scared that I involuntarily drew back, stumbled, and fell on my backside. The darkness around us dissipated, and the dog's squealing was joined by the noises of the surrounding world. Update of the Night Terror of the Village quest. The monster that roams Beatwick by night terrifies even the largest and most vicious dogs. Keep this in mind during your search.
"What are you doing to Tiny Tim?" Clowder appeared next to me. "He's scared of you. Go away. Mr. Slate was right. You're a warlock. Don't be afraid, Tiny Tim. I won't let him hurt you."
Clowder put himself between me and the enclosure and looked ready to fight for his dog. I had little desire to explain anything to this small NPC, so I got up and went to the summer house. As I guessed, my gold was behind the bed. I automatically threw it into my bag and lay down on the bed. The wolves won't be going anywhere, and now I really had to give the forum and the manual a thorough read. The place where I ended up was becoming very interesting, and I had no intention of playing the hero and trying to find out the monster's secret all by myself. Let's think. What does a search for Beatwick give us? Let's look at the manual first. It's a village on the border of the Empire, Krong Province. I already know that. Number of residents, livestock, and other NPC statistics do not interest me. Next. Yes, there we go. The headman died recently in Beatwick. Cause of death remains unknown. He was replaced by the Farstead Industrial Association representative. There are no quests linked to Beatwick residents. The last sentence left me dumbfounded. According to the manual, there were no quests in the village. As it stands, I had already collected two, Night Terror of the Village and The Hunt for Grey Death. Something wasn't tallying here. I made a search for the quest titles. Right, such quests do exist. However, their description made me think.
Variable quest, not linked to a particular location.
So, there are no quests, and yet they do exist. That's just stupid. To the manual again. Search variable quest.
Description, a quest given out by an NPC depending on your progress within the scenario.
Now I became totally confused. What scenario? Why would there be a playable scenario in Beatwick, a village in the middle of nowhere? There aren't even any players around here to do that.
Right, moving on to the forum. What can we find out about Beatwick?
The forum also offered little comfort. My search came up with only one message that was over a year old.
Stupid village! In the middle of nowhere. Griffins don't fly there. The portal to the nearest town costs a grand in gold. The devs have gone batshit crazy setting such prices. In Farstead, I got a quest to deliver a package to the headman. I spent 2 days on a cart. That's just nuts! I even logged out for that time. Right, so I got there and delivered it. I decided to have a look around at night, and it was bad enough that you can put your eye out. It's so dark here. The village is being roamed by a vagrant, a level 100 one, and I'm only at 30. I couldn't even hit him. He dodged all my attacks, the bastard. My advice to you, it's a waste of time. I had a look around the village by day, and there wasn't one quest to be had. What's the point of villages like that if there's nothing to do here for real players? One good thing is that I've done the quest and got some rep with the province. By the way, the headman has a cute daughter, but she won't fall for flowers or presents. Daft NPC.
A new search, this time in the manual. Vagrant, a type of werewolf that keeps its consciousness after a shape change. A vagrant can change his appearance any time at will, independent of the phases of the moon. It is one of the few races that cannot be chosen by players. Race characteristics, faster movement when in vagrant form, ability to cause fits of panic in dogs, plus level to armor due to thick hide. The appearance of a vagrant is provided in the illustration.
I was looking at a tall humanoid dog, or rather, a wolf. The paw-like hands ended in 4 great claws that looked the same as those I saw last night. So there's a vagrant roaming Beatwick, is there? Then Tiny Tim's reaction was understandable. A panic attack is no laughing matter, especially if you're looking at a 100-level werebeast. It's a pity that I can't go straight to the priest and share the information I just obtained. He would simply be unable to hear me, even if I was shouting in his ear. The quest hasn't been completed, so you can't hand it in. Never mind. I have a week to think of some way to catch this flea bag. My revenge for the respawn will be terrible. As I left the house, I glanced at Tiny Tim. He had now recovered and was rampaging around with Clowder. Having allowed himself to be mounted, Tiny Tim ran around the enclosure like a veteran racing horse, and Clowder was laughing at the top of his lungs, grabbing his ears like reins.
"What to do with him?"
a stout woman that came out of the house threw her hands up in resignation. Judging by the kitchen apron, she was the local cook.
"He's making a horse out of the dog again. Marianna, go calm your brother down before he breaks his neck,"
she shouted inside the house. I didn't stay to see how it all ended, and quickly headed out of the village. If I understood the headman correctly, the wolves appeared in the forest not far from the grazing herds. That's where I needed to go. My initial wolf-hunting impulse petered out after about 3 hours. I haven't come across a single wolf, even of the mangy, sickly kind. Finding nothing better to do, I started killing anything that moved. A level 2 grasshopper? A lightning spirit on you. A level 3 toad? Got one for you as well. There was no experience at all, or even loot to be had from this, and these animals didn't even count towards the Bane of the Animal World achievement. but to stave off boredom I continued to repeatedly terrorize the surrounding insects. Oh, there's a mouse running there. Just hold on, I'll get you now.
Damage taken. Hit points reduced by 220. 450, arrow hit, minus 230, physical defense. Total hit points, 420 of 680.
Despite the excruciating pain in my shoulder, I dropped to the ground and rolled sideways. The place where I initially fell was immediately hit by another arrow. What the hell? I kept tumbling, without even looking where I headed, and hit a small tree. Ignoring the fact that I lost some hit points from the collision, I rolled behind the tree and caught my breath. Phew! Now I could breathe and look about. Nice wolves roam around Beatwick, ones with an arrow-shooting habit. I had no time or inclination to look through the logs. It would become clear who was attacking me soon enough. So I took out my tambourine and summoned a healing spirit, replenishing my hit points. Now I was ready for a fight. A minute went by that seemed like eternity, but no more arrows came. Could this be it? I lifted myself over the grass and had a look around. Silence, not a soul to be seen. So where did this strange shooter come from? And, most importantly, who was it? The reply came in the form of an arrow that hit me right in the chest. What the?
Critical damage sustained. Hit points reduced by 670. 900, critical arrow hit, minus 230, physical defense. Total hit points, 10 out of 680.
I fell to the ground like a sack and fitfully gasped for breath. That hurt a lot. If I get hold of the bastard, I'll tear him limb from limb. At least I didn't have to take the arrow out. It had already vanished from this world, leaving only a memory in the form of pain behind. I summoned two healing spirits, getting myself back to full hit points, and stayed quiet. This clearly wasn't a player attacking me, since no message appeared telling me that I was being attacked by a PKer. So it looked like some mob was out looking for fun. Well, we'll see who has a latent death wish in Barleona. A mob can't sit long on one spot. It really must go and see the result of its shots. Imitators, what do you expect? Stupid and predictable. The main thing was to lay low until that time. Although, truth be told, he's a good shot, the bastard. Nearly killed me. I even had my endurance go up to level 11. So much for my worries about leveling up. Yeah, right. All I had to do was wander some distance away from the village. I'd be hit by more than my fill of leveling up. I didn't have to wait for long. 5 minutes later, I heard soft steps, sliding quietly over the grass. Well, well, you wanna be Legolas. Just wander over for a chat. I was lying with my face to the ground, afraid to stir. The main thing was to get the mob to come as close to me as possible, and then we'd see if this archer was much of a warrior. An NPC wouldn't fire a finishing shot at me, the scripts wouldn't allow it, and he wouldn't be able to use his bow up close. I learned all this very well when I was playing my hunter. If this stranger had all his stat points in agility, judging by how he managed to critical me, he shouldn't be much of a close combat fighter, and I'll use that against him. The footsteps stopped right by my head. That's it. Whatever it is, it's here. I was about to jump when I was checked by the painfully familiar aroma coming from my opponent. It smelled of sweat, dung, and some sort of musk. A dark goblin! Any player who had ever made a raid into Cartus would never forget this pungent smell of the main fighting troops of the Dark Lord. But what was one of them doing in Krong? He'd have to walk almost the entire empire to get here. The goblin standing next to me muttered something in his dark language, sounding annoyed and clearly surprised that no pile of money was lying next to me. He grumbled thus for a little while and turned around to walk away. It's time. I jumped to my feet, selected the surprised-looking red-eyed minion in front of me, and summoned a lightning spirit. Take that, you green-mugged bastard!
Damage inflicted, 209. 555, lightning spirit damage, divided by 2.14, opponent level divided by character level, minus 50, inner resistance to spirits.
So, this green piece of slime is level 32. Never mind, we've beaten bigger goons than you into a pulp. The main thing was not to let him get far enough away to shoot. As if hearing my thoughts, the goblin gave a shout and started to make tracks fast. Where do you think you're going? Getting a better grip on my tambourine, I went after the dark minion, like in the good old times when I tried to make it into Cardus by myself. Although that time I was the one running, with the Wild Pack, the main fighting force of the Dark Empire pitted against the players, at my heels. They did get me in the end. I just couldn't run and at the same time take aim and shoot at 300-level mobs. Now, however, I had one big advantage in that I could summon lightning spirits as I ran. The main thing is to keep an eye on energy while I'm singing them songs. The goblin went into the forest, trying to choose hard-to-reach places. Being small, he slid under the branches very easily, which was no simple task for me. The tree branches would not just knock the breath out of me, taking off my energy, but hit me in the face, competing with the goblin in reducing my hit points. Before he reached the trees, I managed to get that pointy-eared menace almost down to zero, but his life bar, though flashing red, refused to disappear. I saw that I would never catch up with the goblin inside such a forest, and stood every chance to lose him, so I stopped and started to summon a lightning spirit. I needed just 3 seconds to... The arrival of an arrow again took 220 hit points off me. Oh no, you're not getting away with it this time, you bastard! Take that! The last words of the song about the shaman flew off my lips, the goblin yelped, and his frame went gray. At last!
Experience gained. Plus 200 experience. Points remaining until next level, 1001. Skill increase. Plus 5% to intellect. Total 23%. Achievement earned. The Defender of the Empire, level 1. 19 Cardus minion kills until the next level. Achievement reward, damage dealt to all the members of the Cardus Dark Empire, is increased by 1%. You can look at the list of achievements in the character settings.
With some difficulty, I struggled through the branches to the goblin's body and picked up 20 gold, an ordinary bow, and a dozen crooked arrows. My loot had no stat bonuses, so I decided to sell it to an NPC trader. I had little desire to be seen by the other players with this rubbish, just so they could have a laugh at my expense. Never mind, a couple of extra gold coins wouldn't burst my pockets. After I summoned a healing spirit on myself, increasing my energy and hit points, I had time to think. I just couldn't get my head around what just happened. What was this pointy-eared and bad-smelling character doing in the neighborhood of Beatwick? And, more importantly, why on earth was he so keen to hunt me down? From what I can remember of specific traits of dark goblins, they never hunt alone. Usually they form a pack, the larger the better. And now this naive mob decided to attack me one-on-one. This was all very strange. I shook my head in disappointment that I hadn't come across any wolves today, got up and headed back to the village. I will try a different direction tomorrow. Perhaps I'll bump into the pack there, even if the headman did clearly say that the wolves were roaming around somewhere in this area. Well, we'll see, I guess.
The main thing was to avoid having this quest become a dead weight. I was extremely reluctant to lose any reputation, which, as experience showed, my shaman would have considerable difficulty in raising. I did, of course, have some hopes for the daily +5 to reputation that I was receiving thanks to the first kill, but having to wait a couple of years... I barely made 2 steps when I heard a twig quietly snapping behind me. That couldn't be the goblin coming back to life, surely. I turned around, closed my eyes, waited a couple of seconds, and opened them again. Nothing changed. A stupid thought popped into my head that I should continue walking straight as if nothing happened. So much for my being upset at not being able to find the pack. There they are, the lot of them, with their level 20 leader, who was nearly as tall as me. Trying to do anything when you are surrounded by 10 wolves is pretty pointless. One thing was comforting. The eyes of the wolves weren't red, a fact that stopped me in my initial impulse to summon a lightning spirit and bring down at least one mob before respawn. While the wolves were deciding what to do with me, I had to figure out how to get the heck out of here. I quickly glanced at the surrounding trees. That one I would never climb. The branches are too thick and close. That one is too small to take my weight. That one is full of some kind of thorns. Ah, we have a tree. Too bad it's 20 meters away. The wolves wouldn't let me get to it in time. After assessing the situation, I froze like a statue. How did that song go? How sweet to be a cloud, and not a floating shaman. Every little cloud gets kicked in the... I didn't have time to think of where the cloud was going to get kicked. The leader of the pack came up to the body of the goblin, growled at it, and then pierced me with a stare. I was having quite a day for staring contests with my canine brothers. For the second time today, the surrounding world went gray, becoming covered in mist, and I saw a short film sketch, potentially titled Wolf Genocide, with a mob of dark goblins in the starring role. A band of small, green-skinned bastards, armed with bows, took over a mine, a tin one, judging by the ore veins, which was home to a pack of wolves. At the time of the attack, the wolf cubs were seized and put into cages. An attack group of 20 wolves tried to get the cubs back, but failed. An enormous female, most likely the leader's mate, fought until the very last moment, and in the end, the wolves took her off the battlefield wounded with many arrows. Half of the pack died at the mine, without ever freeing a single cub. The show was over, and the world returned to its normal state. Quest available. Last hope, step 1. Saving Grey Death. Step 1 description. Save Grey Death, grievously wounded in the fight against the goblins. If the she-wolf dies, the leader would not survive his grief and will die together with her. If you complete the quest chain, the wolves will leave the land surrounding Beatwick forever. Quest chain class, rare. Reward for completing step 1, 250 experience. Reward for the quest chain, hidden. Penalty for failing or refusing the quest, none. There are no quests in Beatwick, I chuckled as I accepted my 3rd in 2 days. It's a pity that I wouldn't be able to carry out the headman's assignment and get all those wolf tails. I had no desire whatsoever to attack the wolves now. I was ready to suffer through being ignored by the village residents for 2 months after completing a rare quest chain was at stake. I'll go and catch that vagrant if the worst came to worst. It was decided. I would help the wolves. I followed them to a small cave where the wounded she-wolf was lying. Though you may as well have called her a giant hedgehog, almost 20 arrows were sticking out of her in all directions. How she managed to survive this remained a complete mystery to me, but her fitful breathing was a clear sign that she continued to fight for her life.
The enormous wolf came up to her, licked her nose, squealed something, and gave me an expectant look, as if to say, "Now you do the healing." Strange. Could a rare quest be so easy? For a healer, this was elementary. Select, say the healing incantation, and get the experience. Maybe I made a mistake in choosing not to hunt the wolves. I might have had more to gain from helping the headman. I just needed to summon the spirits 5 or 6 times to completely heal the pack leader's mate. And you get 900 experience just for that? There must be a catch here. I can feel it. I selected the she-wolf, summoned a healing spirit, and immediately saw what the matter was. The summoning had an unexpected result. No, the spirit did get summoned, and duly entered the wolf, giving her part of its strength, but all of the spirit's strength, focused on the healing, was transferred to me in the form of damage. All 505 units of it. It was just as well that part of the damage got deducted from my resistance, but the situation was still far from ideal. The one small blessing was the lack of pain. After restoring all my hit points, I took a moment to think. By the looks of it, the wolf had to be healed by non-standard means. But in that case, which? What are we going to do with you, Gorgeous? I have no bandages, and the spirits are bouncing off you. Should I feed some special herb to you? I read over the quest description one more time, but it didn't say a word about how to go about completing it. Nor did it contain a requirement stating that the quest could only be done by a healer. This meant that it could be accepted and completed even by warriors and hunters who were unable to heal with anything other than bandages and potions. Lost at what to do next, I stroked the heavily breathing she-wolf. Even if she was an imitator, it was hard not to feel sorry for her. Especially that, "Please confirm that you have read the rules for completing the Last Hope quest chain." The big sign, "Read the Rules," was beaconing and trying to catch my eye, so I pressed it right away. Let's see what rules they are talking about. "Access to the Hidden Quest section granted due to the possession of the Last Hope quest chain. Attention, during the Saving Gray Death quest, sensory filters are turned off by 50%. Please note that during this quest you will be feeling real pain. Your reading this has been put on the record. Should you decide to take legal action, this will be taken into account during the examination of the complaint. Please confirm that you would like to continue with the quest Saving Gray Death." Filters to be turned off? I just don't get it. What do sensory filters have to do with healing the she-wolf? All right, I agree. Keeping in mind that I can feel all 100% of the pain, perhaps a miracle would happen, and for a while the pain I am able to feel would actually be reduced by half. That would be great. All right, I'm prepared to feel the pain. What else? "Damage taken. Hit points are reduced by 220. 450, arrow hit, minus 230, physical defense. Total hit points, 420 of 680. Update of the Saving Gray Death quest, step 1. 1 of 20 arrows pulled out." No way I'm going on with this. Breathing heavily, I got up from the floor where I collapsed from the pain that suddenly hit me. Could my 100% sensory input have been topped up with another 50%? The pain was so great that my muscles all began to spasm. I quickly summoned a healing spirit on myself, caught my breath, sat next to the she-wolf, and had a think. Or rather, made it look like I was having a think, because other than the thought, "I will not be able to take 20 hits like this in a row," my head was completely empty. This was crazy. No way the developers would come up with a quest that could only be completed through that much pain. They just couldn't. There must be some kind of a trick to make the arrows slip out themselves. I just have to think harder. The pack leader came up to me. He sniffed the arrow I took out and looked at me as if asking, "What's with the holdup? Get back to work already." "How can I get back to work, you old gray, if it hurts so much? I can't take that many hits. I'm sorry. Although, maybe it really hurts only the first time and it gets easier afterwards?" Harnessing my willpower and realizing that I was beginning to look like a real masochist, I touched the wounded she-wolf.
"Update to the quest, Saving Gray Death, Step 1. 2 of 20 arrows pulled out."
I was on the floor again when I came to myself. Like hell, it's easier. I even blacked out. My endurance ended up increasing by 20%. I'd get it to level 20 soon if I keep taking the arrows out this way. A stalemate, by the looks of it. A pain either to give up or to keep going. And to keep going was way more than I could handle. The brainstorm that I tried to summon up petered out without a result. I just didn't understand what I had to do and how. That's it. Time for a rest. I should come out of the cave and get some fresh air. Perhaps then some useful thought would strike me. I couldn't even make a wild guess at how to take out the rest of the arrows. Well, no. I could, of course, but I had very little desire to go down that path. Searching the manual was no help either. First, I was told that I could access the hidden quest section, where I read that to complete the quest I had to heal the she-wolf, having pulled all the arrows out of her first. Did I rejoice too soon at gaining access to the manual? Even the hardcore trolls on the forums were silent about this quest. That's it. Time to go for that fresh air and do some thinking. Either the floor was slippery, or my legs hadn't quite recovered from my previous arrow pulling, but the unforeseen happened. When I was getting up, I lost my balance, which made me fall down again, on the wolf that was standing next to his mate. I muttered something like, "Sorry, old gray, I didn't mean it," and started to get up again. The wolf just snorted, but didn't growl. Knowing that I was crossing all bounds of impudence, I leaned on the wolf with one hand, while my other hand accidentally touched the she-wolf. Perhaps, subconsciously, I still wanted to complete this quest.
Update of the quest, Saving Gray Death, Step 1. 3 of 20 arrows pulled out. You transferred the received pain.
The pack leader, whom I was leaning on, yelped in surprise and jumped aside. Just as well that he decided not to attack. I'm just not ready to battle a wolf pack here and now. But that doesn't matter right this second. What does is that I'm already holding 3 arrows out of 20. I summoned a healing spirit on the leader and gestured him to a place next to me. No slacking off now. I'm not going to do all the work for him. After the 8th arrow, the pack leader was done. Each time he jumped aside, but proudly came back, until, after the 8th hit, he simply lost consciousness. At least, he was breathing. I was beginning to worry I had left the pack without a head. Now just 10 arrows needed to be pulled out, but where would I get another volunteer? As if by magic, an ordinary wolf wandered into the cave. I wonder, would the transfer work on them as well? The wolf came up to me, sniffed the unconscious leader, and then stared at me. So, shall we try it? I touched the wolf and then the wounded she-wolf. It worked, though the wolf was finished after just 1 arrow. He yelped, jumped aside, his legs gave way, and he slumped to the ground. I healed him, just in case, and left the cave in search of a new victim. And why not? These weren't real wolves, but imitators. Let them suffer for their leader. It's not like I should be the one doing all the work. I had to pull out the last arrow by myself. I ran out of wolves in the pack. I did not dare invite the she-wolves, who had less hit points than the damage caused by the arrow. They were women, after all, even if they did have tails. How could you put them in harm's way? So I had to simply take the pain.
Update of the quest, Saving Gray Death, Step 1. 20 of 20 arrows pulled out. Quest completed. Experience gained, plus 250 experience. Points remaining until next level, 751.
After I got up from the ground, where I fell when the pain hit, I got my breath back and summoned three healing spirits on the she-wolf. Now I could consider the quest completed. Gray Death is alive. She opened her eyes, lifted her head, looked around, and immediately jumped to her feet. I did not quite understand what happened next. First, an angry growl shook the cave. All the wolves came to themselves and jumped up. Then the she-wolf's eyes began to go blood red, and she lunged at me. At the same time, the pack leader tried to jump in front of her. She crashed into me, taking off half of my hit points, but immediately her mate flew at her, pulling her off me and not allowing her to finish me off, while the rest of the pack ran from the cave, out of harm's way. The she-wolf got up again and was about to attack me, but the pack leader stood in her way. The wolves had a growl chat between themselves, with the tone of her growl being higher and accusing, and his calm and reasonable. Just like an experienced husband talking to a wife who's having a bad day. I felt myself out of place in their family dispute and tried to quietly follow the example of the rest of the pack and sneak out of the cave, but then a message popped in front of me.
Quest available. Last hope, step 2, freeing the wolf cubs. Step 2 description. Free 10 wolf cubs taken prisoner by the dark goblins. If you complete the quest chain, the wolves will leave the land surrounding Beatwick forever. Quest chain class, rare. Reward for completing step 2, 550 experience. Reward for the quest chain, hidden. Penalty for failing or refusing the quest, none.
Both wolves went quiet and stared at me. Both. Are they waiting for me to make a decision? Of course I'll accept the second step. I would be getting more experience from it and do some leveling up fighting the goblins. I just had to get an idea of where they were. Settled down now? Time to show me where those green bastards set up camp, I said at last. In normal life, saying something like this would sound ridiculous, but Barleona is not the real world, and here even wolves, if the occasion really calls for it, could easily have a chat with you. The pack leader growled something in reply, came out of the cave, and trotted off in the direction of the forest. I gathered some green branches, made something resembling a shrub out of them, and saw a fairly predictable message.
Attention! A new stat has become available to your character, Stealth. Stealth allows you to camouflage yourself in your surroundings. You become difficult to see both for mobs and other players. Once you reach the maximum level of stealth, it will be almost impossible to spot you. There is some chance that you would be able to completely drop out of combat. Do you accept? Attention! You will not be able to remove an accepted stat.
If I was still playing my hunter, I'd go for this stat in the blink of an eye. I liked roaming around Malabar forests alone, so I had to run away from mobs quite often. Having this stat would have meant quite a different ending to my trip to Kartas. But by the time I started to read up on the advice of veteran raiders, I managed to reach level 33 and fill up all 4 of my free stat slots. Though, admittedly, the stats I picked were also quite useful for a hunter. I had no desire to re-roll my character, so I camouflaged myself by using special elixirs. Their property of running out, both in terms of time and supply, was something I learned in a hands-on fashion, at the most inappropriate moment. Well, no point digging up the past. But I would not be picking stealth for my shaman. The last slot had to be filled by something focused on attack. All my stats were either crafting or defense-based. I could end up with a poorly balanced build if I wasn't careful. After disguising myself as a piece of shrubbery, I was lying just a few steps from the edge of the mine, which was, in fact, a great big hole.
However, smoking the goblins out of this hole was not going to be a simple matter. Those guys dug themselves in quite well. The only entrance to the mine was closed by enormous wooden gates, and from below, spikes were stuck into the ground, all along the perimeter, preventing you from simply rolling in. 4 hastily made wooden watchtowers stood around the mine boundary, with 2 lookouts in each, level 30 goblin archers. About 12 green skins got on with the everyday task of gathering tin ore. A separate tent, standing right in the center of the mine, belonged to some big boss, since its entrance was guarded by a warrior. Near the tent, there were about 10 cages, with the squealing cubs inside. It was just as well that we didn't take the she-wolf with us. She'd run right to them and try to free them. A few meters from the cages lay the bodies of the 10 dead wolves. The goblins didn't even bother clearing them away. They'd disappear by themselves in a couple of days. I suppose it was possible to take the tails off them, which I needed for the quest. At least I'll get it half done. Perhaps the headman would accept it, even without Grey Death's tail. By the way, I first thought that to be the name of the pack leader, but the truth turned out to be quite different. I immediately discarded the idea of a heroic surprise attack on the mine and systematic clearing out of the goblins. The archers on the towers wouldn't let us get even close to the gates, and jumping down on the spikes was a guaranteed respawn. So, once again, I had to do everything from ass backwards. I crawled back to the forest, took off the shrub camouflage, and went to read the manual. What did it say about dark goblins?
A dark goblin, a humanoid race that lives only in the Kartus Dark Empire. It is one of the few races that cannot be chosen by players. Race characteristics, plus level to agility, reduced hit points and strength. When they see an orc female, they completely lose their head and do everything in their power to seduce her. The appearance of a dark goblin is provided in the illustration.
I didn't bother looking at the pictures of dark goblins, and immediately started to search for the appearance of an orc female. I found it. Oh, boy. How could this 2-meter green hulk with bulging muscles and a bone pierced through the nose be the object of passion for the meter-high pointy-eared munchkins? It's a pity that I don't have any friends with orc characters, or I'd ask them to help me seduce this green rabble. As it stands, I might as well be painting myself green. Paint! A light bulb lit above my head. There is only one trader in Beatwick, and although he doesn't have that many wares, he must have some green paint. It's a completely standard item. I would borrow or buy a skirt off Tisha. I'd pad out all the right parts with dead grass, paint myself the right color, and would look just like a female orc from afar. A wig would come in handy, too. That's it, then. I would return to Beatwick and buy everything I would need. Having assured the wolves that I would return very soon, I ran back to the village. To my surprise, the trader didn't have any green paint. I prepared myself for being completely disappointed, but the trader suggested that I should approach the merchant that came to the village just a couple of hours ago. I ran as fast as I could to the central square, where a large crowd of people had already gathered. The first thing I did when I got to the merchant was sell all the junk made up of the skins, tails, meat, and claws. I had to clear out my bags, and my greed toad wouldn't allow me to simply throw away even useless items. After giving it some thought, I added the goblin's bow and arrows to the pile. The merchant, a dwarf, judging by his personality, but a human by his outward appearance, quickly fingered through my pile, seeming to barely give it a thought, paused for a couple of seconds over the bow and arrows, even lifting his eyebrows in surprise. Judging by his reaction, he knew very well who dropped such unusual items.
4 gold, he said finally. There is absolutely nothing of use to me here. I'll have to resell it all. Is that all right with you?
I nodded, agreeing to the price.
Do you wish to buy anything?
I do. I need green paint, a lady's leather skirt, a lady's leather tunic, a dark wig with long hair, and a portal to Farstead. I fire.